And the Torah portion for this Shabbat is entitled Bamidbar, meaning in the wilderness. It marks the beginning of the book of Numbers. As many of you know, the Hebrew names for the books of the Torah are derived from the key word in the opening sentence of each book. This one is called Sefer Bamidbar because it begins with these words. Adonai spoke to Moshe Bamidbar in the wilderness of Sinai. And this morning's parasha covers Numbers chapter 1, verses 1 through chapter 4, verse 20. Numbers is not exactly a cheerful read. It shows our people Israel at our very worst, consisting of a series of rebellions against God and against Moses. You know, one of the things that separates authentic history from mythology is the honesty of an account. Legend and myth are typically exaggerated. They almost always present their heroes as flawless, and they tend to exaggerate their exploits and exaggerate the numbers of things. Well, speaking of numbers, how did Bamidbar in the wilderness get the English name Numbers? It's because God commanded Moses to take a census, tribe by tribe, of all men 20 years of age and older for the purpose of military readiness, as well as a census of the Kohanim, the priests, and the Levi'im, the Levites. This is what occupies chapters 1 and 2 of Numbers. That verb to sum or to add up is in Greek arithmeo, from which we get arithmetic, hence numbers. And the tally was impressive. 603,550 men fit for war. We also learned that the Levites were to be exempted from military service, as God was setting them apart to serve in the tabernacle and the tent of meeting. Well, speaking of numbers, it's sadly ironic that out of 603,550 men, do you know how many of them would ever actually be allowed to enter the land of Israel? Two, Joshua and Caleb, the only faithful ones out of that generation. That generation of unbelievers was destined to die in the wilderness, Bamidbar. And why were we in the wilderness? Why 40 years? After all, the opening verses of Deuteronomy 11 say it was only 11 days' journey from Horeb or Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, which was the gateway to the land of promise. Well, what was it? Were we, is it because we didn't have a GPS? Were we like the proverbial guy who's too proud to stop and ask for directions? No, it was our disobedience. 40 years we were going to be Bamidbar in the wilderness because of our rebellion against God. When we decided to do things our own way, when we took it upon ourselves to reinterpret God's instructions, that arrogance, that stubbornness, and unbelief consigned a generation to dwell Bamidbar. The Midbar, the wilderness, isn't just a geographic location. It serves as a motif, a symbol of what it means to rebel against God. When we ignore or attempt to circumvent his instruction, that's precisely where we will find ourselves, in a desolate place. But you know, the Midbar can also teach us something positive and essential. It serves as a picture of being completely reliant upon God. I mean, do you really think we survived those 40 years in a scorching desert because we were so ingenious? No, it was because God graciously and mercifully met our needs. He provided water from a rock, manna from heaven, and quail from, well, out of nowhere. The Midbar, the wilderness, can also teach us what it means to repent. to admit that we've failed, we've blown it, and then to learn from it, and then to press on. It also teaches us about God's heart of forgiveness and his desire that we be reconciled to him. The Haftarah reading, which corresponds to this parasha, is Hosea chapter 2. And after indicting Israel for their disloyalty, God, through Hosea, speaks tenderly to her, wooing her back to himself in repentance, saying, "Therefore, behold, I will allure her, bring her back into the wilderness, and speak kindly to her. Then I will give her vineyards from there and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. And she will sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt." An important lesson of the Midbar is that God leaves wide open the doors to repentance. He beckons all who find themselves in a wilderness of their own making to return to him and to be healed. For our Jewish people today, that repentance consists precisely of this, of recognizing that Messiah has come, Yeshua of Nazareth. And until that happens, my people, unfortunately and sadly, will remain bamidbar, in a spiritually dry place, a wilderness, outside the blessings, outside the promise. It's less painful to learn from other people's mistakes than to have to learn everything firsthand. And we are expected to learn from Israel's failures in the wilderness. That's a very big part of why God gave us the book of Numbers. And this is also why the psalmist warned us, "Today, if you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massah in the wilderness when your fathers tested me. For 40 years, God said, for 40 years I loathed that generation and said they are a people who err in their heart and they do not know my ways. Therefore I swore in my anger, truly, they shall not enter into my rest." Psalm 95, verses 8 through 11. Rabbi Paul warned the believers in Corinth, saying, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Messiah. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things," Rabbi Paul wrote, "happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." You know, my brothers and sisters, failure is an inevitable part of the human experience. But it's made worse when we refuse to learn from it. Have you failed in some area of your life, spiritually or morally? Did you learn from it? If so, you will have been bettered by it. You know, Thomas Edison, famous for his many inventions, but perhaps mostly for his invention of the light bulb, he failed literally thousands of times in his pursuit to develop the light bulb. And, you know, he welcomed each failure as a means by which to refine the process in order to eventually arrive at success. I'm paraphrasing it, but he said something like, "Every one of those thousands of failures was one more way not to make the light bulb." And he learned, and he eventually succeeded. The writer of Proverbs assures us, "For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again." So let me encourage you from Bamidbar, the wilderness. Let me encourage you, don't give up when you fail. With God's help, get up, repent, turn, and press on. Learn from Israel's failure so that you yourself don't end up in the wilderness of an unteachable heart. Well, Shabbat Shalom.